We're going to skip another few kinos. Skip three kinos and go to kino chaf test. Amarti shu mini bivchi amarer, page 294 in the art scroll. Page mem gimel in the shul kinos. Amarti shu mini bivchi amarer. This kino as well is another kino describing the massacres of the Crusaders and the death al kiddush shem shemayim of the Jews, who very often chose suicide rather than to submit to forced baptism. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, in an interesting article that he published in the journal Jewish History, points out that for generations, these communities, these Jewish communities in Germany, were the centers of Torah Shebaal Peh in all of Europe. Mainz was where Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola established his yeshiva, which was then headed by his Talmud, who was Rashi's Rebbe, by Yaakov Bar Yakar, who was Rashi's Rebbe. Rashi himself came to study in the yeshiva of Mainz. From France, he came to Germany because there was nothing in France to compare to Germany. Germany was the center of Torah learning. And Rashi came to Mainz to learn in that yeshiva established by Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola, headed then by Rashi's Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yaakov Bar Yakar. Rashi then, after Mainz, went to Worms to learn by his second Rebbe, another Talmud of Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi, both of whom Rashi cites on occasion in his Perish on Shas. And then Rashi returned to France after having learned in Mainz in Germany. Rashi returned to France in the year 1065. Chaim Soloveitchik points out, he said, if these Crusader massacres had occurred a mere few decades earlier, the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh would have been destroyed. Imagine what it would be like to learn without Rashi. Without Rashi, you can't make heads or tails of the Gemara. You can't make heads or tails of Chumash. You can't make heads or tails of Navi. Rashi opens Torah Shebaal Peh to our understanding. And the fact that these massacres occurred only a few decades after Rashi had already learned in and left these communities of Mainz and Worms meant that Torah Shebaal Peh was spared. Because had it occurred a few decades earlier, it would have been disastrous for all of Klal Yisrael. And it was after Rashi left Germany to return to France, it was at that time, writes Dr. Soloveitchik, that the center of Torah learning in Europe shifted from Germany to France. Because Rashi, and who he was, and as great as he was, became the person to go to learn Torah from, and Rashi moved back to France, so the Torah center then shifted to France as well. Rashi's grandsons, the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, his great-grandson, the Ri, they became the Torah leaders of Jewry in Europe at that time. And they were all in France, because Rashi had moved back to France. And so despite the horrendous tragedy of the Crusade massacres, even in the Hester Panim, you see the Yad Hashem. You see how God had worked it out so, that even though Klal Yisrael was deserving of terrible punishments, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for the right time that Torah should continue. Let Torah and Mainz and Worms be taught for as long as it needs to be taught. Then let it shift back to France. And then, and only then, was the punishment visited upon Mainz and Worms and the Torah centers of Germany. This kinah describes in detail the suicide committed by the Jews rather than submit to the demands of the Christians to accept baptism. Kina speaks of Kavasha of Racham of Lazevach. The father restrained his compassion. Yilodav Hishlam Kikar Motavach. He prepared his own children for slaughter. Le'imosam Noamim Hinner Neshchatim Nidbachim. The children cry out to their mothers, "We're about to be slaughtered." K'dikdishum Latevach Ve'itikum La'avachim, as they were set aside for slaughter and taken from their place. And this is clearly a reference to another tragic story related in both the Mainz Chronicle and in the Shlomo ben Shimshon Chronicle, of a woman named Rachel Bas Yitzchak ben Asher, who had four children, two boys, Yitzchak and Aaron, and two daughters, Bella and Matrona. And this wife, this mother, decided that she would rather sacrifice her own children than allow them to be raised as Christians. And so she took her young little baby Yitzchak and slaughtered him. And then as she was going to take her son Aaron, he, being a little older, sensed what was happening and ran and hid under a dresser, under a bureau of sorts. And as the Chronicles both describe, he cried out, "Don't kill me, don't kill me." But his mother grabbed him by his leg, pulled him out, and killed him. And then the two daughters, Bella and Matrona, perhaps they are referred to two paragraphs later. Nevas bayis hayofa besulas bas Yehuda, these young maidens, tzavara pashto machelas hishchiza v'chidida. She stretched out her neck and sharpened the knife. Because in these chronicles they relate how these two young women, Bella and Matrona, first checked the knife to make sure it would be free of any nicks that would invalidate it from making it a kosher shchita, because they viewed their death as a karbon, literally. Chronicles relate how there were times when a father would slaughter his own son, he would recite the bracha on shchita, and the son would answer amen. And then, after the parents committed murder of their own children, Kina describes how Pone Ha'av Bivchi V'yalal, the father breaks out in tears, Atzmo Al-Kharbo Litkor La'apil, he falls on his own sword and takes his own life. And then again, Usmur Mizrak Dam Kibla B'chnafeha, the mother, Usmur Mizrak Dam, instead of the pans in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, she receives the blood of her children in her sleeves, in her garments. Also something described in these chronicles as well with regard to this Rachel Bas Yitzchak. And of course, the question that comes to mind when reading these horrendous descriptions of the horrific tragedies that occurred in that time is, how was this allowed? How could they have done this? How could they do this? And Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, in another article that he published in the Jewish Quarterly Review, suggests and writes that if you put ourselves into the mindset of these individuals living at that time, Christianity was a religion that they hated, they despised, because it persecuted them so terribly. There was nothing more painful to them than to see their own children possibly raised as the enemy. At the same time, it was their incredible emunah and faith and belief in Olam Haba, in Olam HaEmes, in Tzchar V'Onesh, that took them through life. When life was as miserable as it was in medieval Europe, you could not go through life without a firm, vivid picture in mind of Olam HaEmes, of Tzchar, of Olam Haba. And so Dr. Soloveitchik writes, just as a parent would eagerly, not eagerly, but a parent would certainly readily subject a young child, God forbid, to chemotherapy if necessary, to enable that child to then survive a cancer and live for 50, 60, 70 more years. Even though chemotherapy is a horrific, brutal process, painful, torture, yet a parent will subject a child to chemotherapy because ultimately it's in the child's best interest, because he will then live a life of 50, 60, 70 years later. So too he suggests, in the mindset of these Jews in medieval Europe, killing their children was the chemotherapy that would prevent them from falling to the clutches of the church, but would take them and assure them of an eternity in the world to come in Olam Haba. And yet, these very actions lent themselves to tragic, tragic scenarios. One such scenario, again found in a tshuva, written by the Maharami Rottenberg, again about 200 years later, in Germany. Tragic, tragic tshuva. Which is significant because the Maram actually refers to this very kina as proof in his response. Maram was asked, Yehudi echad shalas Maharam sheyichya, a Jew asked the Maharam, do I need kapara, do I need atonement? Because I murdered my own wife, I murdered my four children on the day of the massacre in Koblenz, I saw that the Christians were approaching. They were killing Jews who did not want to accept baptism. I killed my wife and my children. I was about to commit suicide, he writes. But miraculously, I was saved. And now, tragically, this widower, former father, comes to Maharam and says, do I need to do tshuva? The Maharam responds initially with a phrase that is perhaps very rare in his writings, Lo yodana shap in my idom bay. I don't know what to tell you. He says, even if we assume and take it for granted that one can commit suicide, Al Kiddush Hashem, just as Shaul HaMelech did when he was battling the Plishtim and he was cornered and he feared torture at their hands and he therefore fell upon his own sword. That's committing suicide, taking one's own life. The Maharam says to this tragic figure, Lishchor Acherim, to slaughter others, Tsarech Iyun, Limtso Raya Lahatir. It's not so clear that we can prove that that is justifiable. Maram says he doesn't know. This is the greatest of Torah authority of that century, Maram Rotenberg. And then he writes, Miyu, however, Dovazeh Poshat Hetero. But this is widespread. People besides yourself have done this. He says, we've heard of Harbe Gedolim, many great Jews who slaughtered their sons and their daughters, and even Rabbi Clonimus. He writes, Asa kein bekina hamascheles amarti sheumini. Even Rabbi Clonimus memorializes these actions in this very kina, amarti sheumini, authored by Rabbi Clonimus ben Yehuda. Remarkable response that the Maharam turns to this kina and says, if the author of this kina, who is known as a great Torah scholar, could describe or glorify in this kina these acts of infanticide, of parents murdering their own children, Al Kiddush Hashem, it must be, says the Maharam, even though I would not initially, as he didn't think of it myself, but it must be that he allowed it, that he thought it was justified. Maharam then suggests perhaps you can bring some sort of proof to justify your actions. And ultimately he concludes and says to this broken individual, says, somebody who saddles you with guilt, requires you to do atonement, is Motzi Laz HaChasidim HaRishonim. He is in one fell swoop incriminating all of these tzaddikim from earlier generations who did the same thing. And since you intended to do it for the right reasons, Maharam says, Ein lahachmer alof klal, people shouldn't be too hard on you. In this one shuva, you see in one instance both the tragic consequences of these forced baptisms. You see how the greatest of the Torah Gedolim at that time, Maharam in Rotenberg, one of the Gedoli HaRishonim, one of the greatest Balei HaTosis in Germany at that time, wrestled with this issue. Couldn't initially justify it himself. Lo yodana shap ma'idom bei. Couldn't justify it. He felt forced to rely upon the fact that Rabbeinu Clonimus glorified these actions in this very, very kina, to find some source of comfort for this tragic figure, this father, this widower. Marty Shumini Bitriya Mare Manakshi Bukhya Kare Mabyasana Sidi Mare Yazel.